Good to us this year. He's been good to us. You know, beginning of this year, I was saying to the Lord, God was asking me to minister less in this beginning of this year. And I told my brother to be prepared on Fridays and Sundays and to look into the ministry. And I would tell him who has to minister which week and he has to guide through. And I wouldn't be pastoring much. And I'm glad that over the year that even though I didn't want to minister much, times where I would have to stir the anointing, and there were times when the anointing stirred me up. But we went through the year because God was good. And this evening I was saying, what do you want us to do next year? And God was, how to start the new year? The Lord said, those of them who are truly interested to start the new year with the presence of God, He said, let them approach my presence in prayer. Amen. But we won't have a corporate ministry on 31st night. The Lord said, those of you who want to start the new year, start afresh by seeking the face of God in your own rooms, in your own homes, wherever you are, if you're truly interested. Because any day we call a meeting, there are people to come. Because God brings in the people. And so over the year, I found that even though God was revealing Himself through His word more intimately, I found the ministry basically just going into a stage where they were just not recognizing the abundances which God had done for them, the way He has been helping them. They had forgotten to thank Him the way they should be. They had begun to praise Him. They had beginning to sing to Him, but they had lost that heart of worship. The songs were coming from their mouth, but they had lost that heart. They were doing a lot of things for God, but the fire of God, I've so seldom burned in the hearts of many. They were coming into a place of walking with God for some time, then going back, walking again with God, but just not continuously walking, looking to Jesus, and truly meaning what they say. And I strongly believe that we need to start the year coming with a fresh zeal, with a fresh enthusiasm, asking the Lord just to reveal once again that love that we need to have for Him and walk with Him. How many of you believe that? And so tonight I'm just going to share a simple word which I believe will help you over the weekend. And if you're truly wanting to seek the face of the Lord on the 31st night. On 31st night, God told me to go into Bangalore and have a ministry there. So on 31st night, after Sunday worship, I am going over to Bangalore to have a ministry there. Hallelujah. Praise be to the name of Jesus. I was not very clear with the message, but today afternoon while I was praying, the Lord spoke and said, Bangalore. I was asking him, Lord, 31st night you want us here to minister? God said, no. Get into Bangalore. Get into a place, a nice, good discotheque, and start ministering. Hallelujah. Praise be to the name of Jesus. So let's look to a scripture which I just preached on the Christmas morning to some of you, but I want to preach again because the Lord is inspiring me to say the same word, and I believe there is something in it for you. The Gospel of Mark chapter 14 and verses 3 to 9. Can somebody read me? My voice is kind of strained.
And being in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask, a very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. And she has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her.
Amen. And being in Bethany in the home of Simon the leper, he sat at the table and there came to him a woman. And this woman comes to Jesus and she is breaking an alabaster flask at the head of Jesus Christ. Remember the passage? She broke the alabaster flask at the head of Jesus. Now when you study the scriptures, you will find this woman is anointing Jesus the second time. She did it once before. And that time when she did it, she broke the alabaster flask at the feet of Jesus. Well, it is mentioned in Luke chapter 7. So let's just look to it also. The Gospel of Luke chapter 7. And again, I want a whole reading to come through, and the Holy Spirit give us revelation knowledge in this place tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. And verses 36 onwards. Luke 7. Are you there? Amen. If you are there, say, I am there. That's right. Then verses 36 onwards. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. That's a revival message. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I want you to underline that word. Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you, go in peace. Amen. Here is a Pharisee who invited Jesus into his house. And is giving the Lord a great meal. And he's got all his guests there. Everyone are there. And suddenly, the very move of that party is broken by an incident where a lady is coming and creating a scene. She's coming in, crying. She's standing behind the Lord. Then she's crying, falling at the feet of Jesus. And she's crying again and again. And she's lying there. After some time, she breaks the alabaster flask right at the feet of the Lord. And then begins to wipe the feet of the Lord with her hair. And then is kissing the feet of the Lord. There are some disciples standing there. And they are saying, couldn't this alabaster flask be sold and the money given to the poor? Here is a Pharisee who loved to have Jesus in his home, but does not want to honor the Lord. And some of us can get into that trap. I used to say, Lord, I won't go anywhere where you do not come with me. Not a single service where you do not come. And by the grace of God, he has always showed up. He's never disappointed, never let me down. He's always showed up. But the Lord was just rebuking me for my shallowness. Sometimes you love him and he shows up, but you do not honor him the way he should be honored. Here is this Pharisee inviting Jesus. Who doesn't want Jesus in the home? We are believers, come on. We would love to have Jesus in our home. But this woman is honoring the Lord, not like the Pharisee. She's coming. And she is breaking what is most expensive in her life. That alabaster flask is one of the most costliest things. It could have cost her a year's wages just to buy that. And she's breaking it right at the feet of the Lord. What should you have done if you were doing something for the Lord? Definitely in a party like that, you would have just maybe taken that perfume and dropped it drop by drop. Look at my surrender. Look at what I'm doing for God. Look at what I've done for Jesus. God has to be grateful for what I'm doing. But she just took that alabaster flask and just broke it at the feet of the Lord. It was the most costliest thing, but she just broke it. And then she's kneeling down at the feet of the Lord, crying over the feet of the Lord, and then wiping the feet of the Lord with her hair. See, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 15, a woman's glory is her hair. A woman's glory is her hair. Which woman would just have a shampoo wash come out and see the feet of the Lord and wipe that feet with her hair? Jesus came into Bethany. When you read the scriptures, he came in from Jerusalem unto Bethany. The route Jerusalem to Bethany is a dusty road. And the Lord has got dusty feet. There are camels traveling that road, and definitely it would have been a dirty road. And the Lord expected his feet to be washed. That's why the Lord said, Simon, I came into this house But you did not wash my feet. It was the Jewish custom. If somebody walked into your house, the first thing that they would do was wash the feet of the one whom they had invited, the guest, and take him and give him the best chair. Here she is doing what the Pharisee did not do. She recognizes the Lord is in that house, but they're not honoring him the way they should be honoring him. See, some of us come in for worship, but we don't worship, we sing. We come in, we love to have the Lord here. I mean, who doesn't want to have the presence of God in this place or in your life, you know, in your home? But do you honor him the way you should be honoring him? Starting into the new year, here is something we can go by. This woman is breaking what is costly at the feet of the Lord and exchanging her glory to wipe the dust off the feet of the Lord. How many of you are with me tonight? And then she is kissing that feet, the dusty feet of the Lord. The disciples are there. See, how many of you know that you can be a disciple and still miss out on having an intimate relationship with Jesus? The disciples are sitting there and they forget the whole thing. They're saying, listen, I'm a disciple. I've just finished my discipleship course. I've just finished my Bible course. Look, look. What is this woman doing? I mean, how can she just spoil the whole evening? So many guests in this place. So many people are here. And how can she just spoil the whole evening by doing what she is doing? You can be a disciple and still miss out on that intimacy. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to birth that intimacy with Jesus once again. I was saying, Lord, take me out of shallowness. How much we come, we love to have the Lord's presence here. When is the last time you broke something at the feet of the Lord and said, Lord, this is what I'm counting the most. This is the most costliest thing in my life. Maybe my everything that I own, whatever it is. Here it's, Lord. It belongs to you. There is no fire without a sacrifice. Two, she exchanged her glory to have what was most important. When is the last time you have come into a meeting and just knelt down in worship and said, Lord, here I am, Lord. How many of you with me still? See, here is an unselfish act. She did not even stand there for forgiveness. She did not stand there and say, listen, forgive me, Lord. I'm a sinner. Everybody knew she was a sinner. The Pharisee is saying, listen, she's a sinner. If the Lord knew who she was. She did not even want forgiveness. All she wanted was to just love the Lord and honor him. And the Lord said to her, even though you didn't ask for it, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. She did not even want a breakthrough, not even a deliverance. She just came there just to say, Lord, here I am. Just to say, I love you. Well, the passage that you read the first time in Mark 14 is the time when she's anointing Jesus the second time. And second time she's coming and breaking the alabaster flask at the head of Jesus. See, how many of you know that you need to start at the feet? And then go on to grow into the fullness of the stature in Christ, into his head. That's where ministry starts. Do you know that? That's where ministry starts. We start right. I always share this. If a plane has to take off, no matter how huge the plane or how small the plane, it has to start from the beginning of the runway. A Concorde might need about 2.5 kilometers stretch to take off. But it has to start from the beginning. Are you with me? A small plane might only need maybe about 500 meters to take off. But it can't say, listen, let me just go into the middle part of the runway and start off from there. It has to go right to the beginning and then run and then boom, take off. See, God has called us with a holy calling. He's called us with a holy calling. Look at your neighbor and say, holy calling. And we need to start right from the starting point. Are you with me? You need to start from the starting point. You start from the feet. That's what she did. Second time, she's breaking it at the head of the Lord. Then the alabaster, she knew what it was to give what she's counting the most at the feet of, to give to the Lord. Nothing mattered. She just broke that alabaster flask at his head. And there's something that powerful that the Lord said. The Lord said what she's done beforehand to prepare me for my burial. And wherever the gospel is preached, it shall be told in memory of her. How many of you with me still, please, tonight? Wherever the gospel is preached, it will be told in memory of her. She didn't ask that. She didn't even want forgiveness. I like that word which Job said in Job 13 and verse 15. Lord, though you slay me, still I will hope in you. That word hope actually means I'll trust in you. He's lost his wealth, he's lost his health, he's lost everything. And he's saying, Lord, even if you slay me, still I will hope in you. Look at that love. There is a saint in the Catholic Church called Little Flower. She's a woman, if you have read her book, she's a woman who was so passionately in love with Jesus. And she used to say to the Lord, Lord, even if you put me into hell, still I will love you. If you put me into hell, still I will love you. We would like to get out of hell, but we don't want to love him. We like to get our bondage, but we don't want to walk with our deliverer. How shallow. I was saying, Holy Spirit, please forgive me for my shallowness. In these days, just put in that true, genuine place of consecration that I can come before you and say, Lord, nothing matters, nothing matters, nothing matters, nothing matters. Nothing matters more than you. The ministry does not matter more than you. As a matter of fact, I said, Lord, I would love just to sit at your feet and just worship you rather than ministering. Just to abide in your word and just to walk in it more than preach it. Nothing matters more than you. She is pouring the anointing oil from the alabaster flask at the head of Jesus the second time. I like what Tommy Tenney said. You know, everyone loves the anointed, but Jesus loved the anointers. Here she is anointing Jesus. Everybody loves the anointed, but here is a woman. She wants to be an anointer. She's not even going for anointing. She's saying, I want to anoint. I've seen so many people walk in for worship. So many people come for prayer. And they say, brother, please pray that I might have a thicker anointing. I might have a, you know. But nobody's come to a place where they've come and said, please, just pray that I might be a good anointer. I might bring my worship before God. I want to worship the Lord. I haven't seen much people who have said that. Everybody comes and says, please pray a fresh anointing, New Year starting, an anointing, brother. Hallelujah, praise God. God in His mercy does that. But what I want to be in these days into that place where I can say, Lord, I want to be an anointer. I want to anoint you with my love. I want to tell you, Lord, that nothing matters more than you. I want to say no to myself. See, she was a sinner woman. See, how many of you know that you can walk into this place as a sinner? And how many of you know that you walk into, and if you're a disciple, you might walk into this place. Maybe your prayer life is the kind of weak and low, and you walk in. And you walk in and stand, and the presence of God is so intense, you will say, oh, I wish I'd prayed before. maybe I should go after this meeting, pray more and come the next week. That is selfish. Do you know that? See, she didn't even, the first time when she came, she just came and, I'm a sinner, but I don't look to that. Here is what my costliest thing is. Here is my hair, my glory. Here is, that's all that I have, but that's my hair. That's for you, Lord. No matter how weak I am, here I am for you. She couldn't just wait another day to give what she had to give that day to the Lord. How many of you know that your walk with God is progressive revelation? And your intimacy with God is progressive intimacy. When I began my walk with the Lord, I didn't have much to surrender. I didn't have much to surrender. But when that walk continued and God began to bless and do things, the more things that I had to surrender. The more things to surrender. It was progressive revelation. He began to show me. The more I would give up, the more I would recognize His beauty and just love Him more. How many of you are with me still tonight, please? It's that kind of relationship. This woman is breaking the second time the alabaster flask. The disciples are there. Everyone is there. Everyone is there. Nobody wants to do what she's doing. The Lord says, wherever the gospel is preached, because she's been so unselfish, she has not asked me for anything, not even an anointing. She wants to be an anointer. Wherever the gospel is preached, let it be told in memory of her. Can you imagine that? Every gospel preacher preaches Jesus. He lifts up Jesus. Here is the Lord saying, I am going to give her a privilege. Wherever my gospel is preached, the Lord is saying, what this woman has done, let be told in memory of her. You know why? Because she did beforehand in preparation for the burial of the Lord. Think about it. See, Jesus on that cross, beaten, flogged, his back is torn. It looked like, Psalm 129 says, his back looked like as if plovers had ploughed on it. They began to spit on him. They placed a bunch of thorns on his head and hit him right through the scalp. Thorns are coming through. He's bleeding. People are standing out there making fun of him and saying, if you are the Christ, save us. Put right between two thieves. Rejected by his family, rejected by every one of his disciples. Rejected by people who received the miracles from his hand. And those very people are standing there and saying, come on, kill him, finish him off, crucify him. And suddenly while there he is on that cross, for a brief moment I've forsaken you, but with great compassion I will gather you. The Father forsakes him for a minute. And he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know what kept the Lord on that cross? The smell of that anointing amidst the blood and the sweat that this woman has done for him. The only thing what she has done beforehand in preparing for my death. That's how the version says. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Right on that cross, it's what this woman has done that's kept the Lord. If I may say so, the love that she showed. See, this woman, we do not know who she is. The Bible does not say her name. But I like to believe it must have been Mary. Magdalene. Why I like to believe that is because on the day of the resurrection of the Lord, here is Mary carrying again some ointments and perfumes to once again anoint the body of Jesus. If she's been carrying those perfume and that ointment to bury the body of Jesus, then she must have been so used to the fact that she's anointed the Lord much before. How many of you with me still, please? And so here she is carrying the spices, the ointment, everything to bury the, to anoint the dead body of Jesus Christ on the cross. She did not know Jesus had resurrected. Can you imagine that? I think it was C.S. Lewis who said, Lord, correct me, discipline me, hit me, smash me, do whatever you want, but please, Lord, don't be silent. Please, Lord, don't be silent. The silence of God sometimes speaks much larger than His words. Do you know that? Now, if you cannot worship a Lord who is alive, look at the love of this woman, Mary. She is going to worship. Unselfish. That's what I like about her. To anoint the dead body of Jesus. She's going there. She knows the Lord can't even move His little finger to help her. The other day I was saying, what happens if on a Sunday I stand here and I say, listen, today for worship the Lord tells me God can't do anything for you. He's dead. He cannot heal you. He cannot save you. He cannot set you free. He cannot forgive you. He cannot bless you nor prosper you. Nothing He can do. And let's take a worship song. Come on, let's worship. How many of you will be there for worship that day? Maybe one Sunday since you have walked in, you might stay there looking at the watch. Hallelujah. Some people really watch and pray, you know. The Lord said watch and pray. Keep the watch in front of them, watch and pray. You would have done that, watch and pray. But what did this woman, look at her unselfishness. She's coming there to worship and to bring in that spices and that ointment and those perfumes to anoint the body of Jesus. You know, I like what Lester Sumrall said. He walked into the house of the Jeffrey brothers. And the man of God was there, very old, but not ministering anymore. And Sumrall sat there and said, listen, brother, I want you to bless me. And this man looked up and he said, what do you mean, bless you? I can't do anything, go. Sumrall said, no, sir, I recognize the way that God honored by anointing you. The revival that broke out in England, the revival that burst out across the world, the miraculous anointing of God that operated in your life. Sumrall said, please, sir, I want you to anoint me. Bless me. And this man of God said, son, you are the first person to walk into these walls 15 years. When I was ministering, there were so many men of God who walked in. God broke out revivals in their churches. There are so many of them who were healed. There were so many of them who were blessed and set free and liberated from the clutches of the enemy. But when I fell away, not a single one showed up in this place. Not even the ones to whom I had given a ministry. You are the first person in 15 years to walk into this place to tell me to bless you. And Sumrall sat there weeping and he said, sir, I did not know about that, but I want your blessing because I still recognize the anointing that operates in your life. And he says in his book, when this man, Jeffrey, began to pray, the anointing of God just fell upon that place. The mantle just fell upon that place. Can you imagine that? 15 years, nobody walked in to receive that. But it's gone. Good. Finished. Here is this woman going to worship a dead Jesus. A Jesus who can't do anything for her. But the Lord is resurrected. The Lord is resurrected. And the Lord is resurrected. And when she goes in there, she sees not the Lord. She sees not the Lord. Because the Lord is resurrected. And she's asking, where have they laid him? Where have they laid him? Where have they laid him? I want to anoint this. I want to anoint him. Where have they laid him? And Jesus, on the way to the Father, to take in the perfect blood before the Father and to pour it before the mercy seat, suddenly hears this desperate plea of Mary saying, where is that body? And Jesus comes back and stands right there by Mary. And Mary, supposing her, him to be the gardener, says to him, listen, where have you laid him? Please tell me where he is. I will go get him. Where have you laid him? See, she did not recognize the glorified body of Jesus because she was always used to the dusty hair and that dusty feet, which she had so beautifully anointed. She did not recognize the glorified body of Jesus. She said, where have you laid him? She supposed him to be the gardener. Some of you having experience with the Lord is meeting with you and you've just not recognized him. When the Lord came on the road to Emmaus and spoke with the disciples, they thought him to be a stranger. Stranger, what about good news? Some of us miss out on the Lord, you know, just on revival. Because we expect revival to come one way. I'm glad this year the revival did not come the way we expected. When I spoke about revival and I prayed about revival, I thought people might be set free from the bond of sin and just fall down by the power and tremble down for some time. But here God is bringing people out of religious bondage, setting them apart, hallelujah, getting them right into a radical commitment by getting them into the waters of baptism, making them step out. That is revival. Jesus, on the way to the Father to take his blood, is arrested in his very way by a worshiper. How many of you know that the law will stop wherever he is? If you will come into that place of unselfishness and you will say, Lord, I want to just love you. I want to just worship you this evening. I just want to tell you I'm grateful. I just love you, Lord. How many of you have gone to the Lord in prayer without ever asking him for a need? How many of you have gone to that place called the Holy of Holies by faith? Approach the throne where the Lamb of God is seated at the right hand of the Father. And sought his face to worship him. Not for any need, but just to honor him and say, you are God. You are my Father. You are my Lord. You are my Master. Here, the Lord's way is arrested by a worshiper. The Lord comes back. And when the Lord comes back and stands, there's something that the Lord says. The Lord says to her, Mary, and my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Immediately she recognizes the voice of Jesus. And she was about to touch the Lord and the Lord says, Mary, don't touch me. Every time I meet you, you're just getting so close to me. Touching my feet, touching my head, touching... Don't do this time because no high priest going into the Holy of Holies can be touched by anyone because he would defile himself when he's taking the blood. Are you with me? No high priest walking into the Holy of Holies carrying the blood of the Lamb for the nation could ever be touched by anyone. And here the Lord is doing his ministry as the high priest taking his own blood before the Father, but stopped on the way by a worshiper. But he's saying, don't do this now to me, Mary. 7 hours later, he comes back and says, touch me. How many with me tonight? You can be a disciple, still miss out on the intimate love with Jesus. What I want starting into New Year 2002 is, Lord, to break those alabaster flasks. To come before humility, in humility before the Lord. To take my glory and say, it is nothing compared with what you are, with who you are. No matter what the sacrifices, there is nothing that you can keep which you will not lose, except your love for the Lord. There is not a single thing that you can keep. If you think the position in your society you can keep forever, you're mistaken. You will lose it. If you think you can keep the wealth that you have, you will lose it. There is nothing that you can keep which you will not lose one day. But there is something which you will never lose. It's not your job. It's your love for the Lord. It's your love for the Lord. If you have got that, you need to grow. Starting into New Year, we want to come into that place where we say, Jesus, nothing matters, Lord. Nothing matters. I just want to have a time of just worshiping you. The Lord knows your needs. The Lord said to that sinner when she came as a sinner, the Lord said, daughter, go your way. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has saved you, set you free completely. That means made you whole, complete, lacking nothing. Nothing broken, nothing missing. That's the word shalom. Nothing out of place. Everything perfected. Go. Even though you did not ask me, I know. That's what it means when the Bible says, take delight in the Lord and He will give you your heart's desires. Some of us have just not taken delight in the Lord. How many of us come with an enthusiasm to just take delight in the Lord? Just not to hear a message, not to get a blessing, not even to get an anointing, just to come and say, Lord, I want to anoint you with my worship. I want to come and break the alabaster flask and say, Lord, you are mighty. You are more than enough for me. You are my El Shaddai, my more than enough. Don't be that Pharisee. He was a leper at one time. The Lord healed him. The Lord came into his house. He forgot his past blessings. He forgot his past blessings. And he just wanted the Jesus in that house, but did not want to honor him. Don't be in those shoes. Are you with me? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless the Lord all that is within me, and forget not any of his benefits. Avan cheytha oru nanmayum nee marakkarathu. See, how many of you know that you can walk in the miraculous anointing like the disciples, see devils go out of people, see bondages broken, see everything, but come and just sit there and look at somebody else worshipping with tears, falling on their feet and say, oh, come on, that is emotionalism. I've grown past that into maturity. Look at me. Been in the ministry 10 years, no problem. You want to come like a child and say, Lord, here I am. Willing to weep, willing to throw my hair, willing to do anything to tell you that I love you. And you mean more than anything else to me. Amen. Tonight, let us close our eyes in prayer.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. This Sunday, we are having a celebration Sunday. That is to thank the Lord for all that He's done all through this year. Amen. So there's something that you need to do if you're genuinely wanting to thank the Lord. And that is, if you're coming on a Sunday to genuinely thank the Lord. Well, I want to read through 1 Samuel 7. But I'm just giving you that one word, 12th verse. Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. Itratholam Yehovah Sahaichu. Amen. Praise God. He took a stone, hallelujah, and called it the stone of help. Amen. I told you a couple of months back while we were having one of those evening services, I told you to have a small stone taken and around it put a paper.
Thank the Lord for what He's done. And each time the Lord does something for you, write it on that piece of paper, put it inside that stone, and drop into a box and keep it. And over the year, you will find all Ebenezer's, all the things that God has done. So it is so beautiful to watch, and that's how your love intensifies for the Lord. He's broken you out of bondage, brought you through. When you're grateful hearts, then you will find God's hand coming upon you even more strongly. Amen. So this Sunday, what I'm going to do is, it's quite hard to get small stones. So what you need to do is take different colors of paper, if you have, and if you're truly genuinely wanting to offer before God a worship, in each little bit of paper, you write one blessing each that God has done for you. Tomorrow, the whole day is there. Amen. And then make it into a small stone. I mean, just roll it around like a small stone. Keep it. The next blessing that He gave you through the year, keep it. The next one, when you thought you was going to die, God kept you. When you thought you would never rise, God raised you up again. I mean, write all those things. One by one by one. Just thanksgiving. Okay? For one day this year, just stop complaining before God. Amen. Praise God. And just thank Him. Okay? One by one. Just things that He's done for you. The blessings that He's given you. Just recognize them. In different colors of paper, just small balls, just take it. Put in a plastic cover. And when you come on Sunday for worship, bring it with you. How many of you will do that? Well, I'm going to do that. How many of you will do that? I mean, don't get up on a Sunday morning and just when you have reached the gate, remember, whoo! Just tear a couple of pages and then roll it around and bring. Don't do that. Genuinely, let it be a time of your worship tomorrow when you spend time with God alone. Make sure that you do it. Amen? Don't play games with God. Do it seriously before God. Tell Him, thank you, Lord. Thank you. At least one day of this year, let me be grateful to you. Amen? And do all that and come on Sunday with all those little Ebenezers. Amen? Hallelujah. Look, all of those Ebenezers. I'm going to open some of them and read it out. It just shouldn't be peppers. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a mighty clap of praise. Amen. Give Him glory. So how many of you will make those Ebenezers tomorrow? Amen. Bring it on Sunday. Amen. Don't forget it. Praise God. We are having a celebration Sunday this Sunday. Amen. So get excited in the Lord and come over on Sunday. May the good Lord bless you. Amen. Have a great weekend. Amen. God bless you. Amen. How many are willing to fast and pray this week for the ministry? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That is to fast and pray for the ministry. How many of you can fast and pray for me also? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Just to fast and pray for the ministry. Amen. Praise God. May the good Lord keep you. Have a great night. See you the day after tomorrow. Amen.